Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The grace of our risen Savior, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent upon the disciples the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, look upon your church and open our hearts to the power of the Spirit. Kindle in us the fire of your love and strengthen our lives for service in your kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. När sedan pingstdagen var inne var de alla församlade med varandra. Då kom plötsligt från himmelen ett dån, så som en våldsam storm hade dragit fram. Och det uppfyllde hela huset där de satt. Och tungor som av eld visade sig för dem, en på var och en av dem. Och de blev alla uppfyllda av helig ande och började tala andra tungomål eftersom anden ingav dem att tala. Nu bodde i Jerusalem fromma judiska män från allehanda folk under himlen. Och när dånet hördes församlade sig hela hopen och en stor rörelse uppstod. Ty var och en hörde sitt eget tungomål talas av dem. Och det uppfylldes av häpnad och förundran och sa: Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Så uppfylldes de alla av häpnad och visste inte vad de skulle tänka. Och det sa den ene till den andra, vad kan detta betyda? Men somliga drev gäck med dem och sa: Det är fulla av sött vin. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the great and wise sea, with
living things too many to number, creatures both small and great.
There move the ships, and there's that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it.
All of them look to you, and to them their food in due season.
You give it to them, they gather it, you open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
You hide your face, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works.
He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my need.
May these words of mine please him. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. И никто не может назвать Иисуса Господом, как только Духом Святым. Дары различны, но Дух один и тот же. И служения различны, а Господь один и тот же. И действия различны, а Бог один и тот же. Производящие все во всех. Но каждому дается проявление Духа на пользу. Одному дается Духом слово мудрости, другому слово знания, тем же Духом. Иному вера, тем же духом, иному дары исцеления, тем же духом, иному чудовения, иному пророчества, иному различения духов, иному разнения языки, иному истолкования языком. Все же сия производит один и тот же Дух, разделяя каждому особо, как ему угодно. Ибо так дело одно, но имеет наягня олени, и все члены одного тела, хотя их и много, составляют одно тело, так и Христос. Ибо все мы одним духом крестились в одно тело. Иуды или ельни, раби или свободные, и все напоены одним духом. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace
be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The Gospel of the Lord.
And each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Thank you, Elizabeth and Bruce and Bob, for speaking such beautiful language for us to hear the Pentecost proclamation. Did anyone understand the Swedish? Other than Annika? Did anyone understand the Russian? Other than Bob? Did anyone understand the English? Well, I'm glad that we had the words printed in our bulletin so that we could follow along. But to tell you the truth, most of what I heard this morning sounded more like babble to my ears than Pentecost. You remember the story of the Tower of Babel, that story from the book of Genesis where the people living in the wilderness let their pride and their egos take over, and they decided that they could get to God by themselves. They could build a tower on their own ego, on their own pride, and reach God. So they started building this tower, and God saw what evil they had in their hearts. He saw that sinful pride, and God confuses their language and scatters them across the face of the earth. The punishment for that pride and that sinful ego was that the whole world became tongue-tied. And ever since then, people have struggled to understand one another. People have struggled to cooperate. And I think our world is still in that struggle. It seems to me that whatever can be misunderstood will be misunderstood. That Tower of Babel story is more than an explanation of how come there are different languages and cultures. I think it's an explanation of the human condition itself. We don't understand each other even when we speak the same language. We're blocked. We're blocked by our simple inability to accept the differences that exist among us in how we live and in what we believe. But is that really God's doing? Is that God's action, splitting apart people? Is it the Lord's action that confused our speech and made us deaf to one another? Maybe the Tower of Babel story is more a story about how we have forgotten the language of God. We've forgotten what one theologian calls the grammar of grace. At Babel, the people acted in pride and built that tower to reach God on their own power, and God scattered them. God predicted that this was only the beginning of the evil action that people would do. God knew that people had that sinful nature, that prideful ego. God knew so much more about people than people knew about God. God is always willing to come down. God is always willing to come down to us, to walk with us in our earthly walk, if we only invite, if we only ask. God is more than willing to walk with us, so much more willing and able for God to come down and walk with us than it is ever able for us to go up to God, to reach God by our own efforts, by our own power. At Pentecost, The Spirit of God comes down on the disciples and brings them and us back together again. Those who have been scattered by language and diversity of culture are brought back together again. They're brought back together in the language of God. Pentecost is the answer to Babel. The great differences among us, the differences in language and culture, wealth and poverty, how we were raised and how we live, what we do and what we believe, all of those differences that were scattered, the differences are now scattered by that violent wind that filled the house. All the differences are burned away by the fire of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter now whether we are Medes or Parthians or Elamites, whether we're Swedish or Russian or American or African. It doesn't matter. Well, that's what was supposed to happen on Pentecost, that it doesn't matter. How come it is that here we are 2,000 some years after Pentecost and we still don't understand each other? We still have differences in language and culture. We still don't understand how the world is. We still look at the world in different ways. What happened to that promise of Pentecost? And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And he breathed on them. The language of peace and forgiveness is the universal language. It's not the sound of words in a multitude of languages that have to be understood. That's not what the promise of Pentecost. How I would have loved that when I was studying Greek and Hebrew, if I'd given the gift to be able to understand all languages. That's not the promise of Pentecost. Unplug it. The promise of Pentecost is that we would understand the language of peace and the language of forgiveness. That's not limited by our linguistic skills. We can follow Jesus' example in a way that we speak by speaking the language of peace and forgiveness. That can be understood by the whole world. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. You are forgiven." That's the language of the human heart. That's the word that we can all understand. And all nations and all peoples yearn to hear that language of peace and forgiveness. But we live in a world that doesn't want to listen. There's so much noise besides the voice of God in the world today. There's so much noise beyond the language of love and peace and forgiveness. So what are you listening to these days? What's your language? Is your life full of more Babel than Bible? Are you listening more to the words of the world or the language of grace, the grammar of grace, the language of the Spirit? Too often, we just drop a little God talk on Sunday morning, or we pray, "Oh God, help me," when we find ourselves in a corner. But would you be able to say that the language of peace and forgiveness is your native tongue? And are you surprised by the variety of languages, not languages of Swedish and Russian and English, but the languages of peace and forgiveness that come into your life? How have you heard the language of peace and forgiveness coming into your life? St. Paul said in that reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates them all in everyone. The Holy Spirit is at work in every one of us. And the Holy Spirit is waiting to be translated by us, to be translated into action, to be translated into words and deeds of peace and forgiveness. That's how we understand the language of love. The language of the Spirit is by putting into action peace and forgiveness. Now, in preaching class, they called this an object lesson. This is the object. This is a dead balloon. If I put it there, it stays there as long as John leaves it alone. It stays there. It's a dead balloon. But if we put in it the breath like Jesus breathed on the disciples, goodness. If we breathe into that dead balloon, the breath, the power, well, it's still just a dead balloon unless that power is released. And when that power is released, it goes someplace. We don't know where it's going to go. We can't control where it goes. You know, when Jesus breathed out the Holy Spirit on the disciples, he didn't expect them to stay locked away in that upper room. He expected them to go out. We don't know where the power of the Spirit is going to take us, but we do know that the power of the Spirit is going to take us somewhere. In some ways, we're not like this balloon, because now, when the power has gone out, it's dead again. And we know and believe in the promise of baptism that the Holy Spirit will remain with us forever. Once we have received that power of the Holy Spirit, God's power stays with us forever and ever. But on the other hand, we read in the Bible that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. We read that over and over again, that God continues to fill the disciples with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled and refilled. We need to come on Sunday and get refilled with the power of the Spirit. We need to hear again the Word of God filling our lives and our hearts with that language of the Spirit. We need to eat the bread and wine of the Lord Jesus himself and be nourished and strengthened so that we can act in that power of the Holy Spirit. We need to come again and again to receive the fellowship and the support of the faith community that gathers around us. Sometimes I've heard it said, you know, I can worship God better by myself. On the golf course, walking on the beach, sailing, surfing. The power of God is so present there. I can feel the presence of God so much more there than I can at church. So I'm going to do that on Sunday morning, to feel that power of God in my life. And I say, amen, more power to you. That's great. But the community needs you too. We need the community as well. Go on Thursday golfing and come to church on Sunday so that we can receive that power of the Spirit from one another. We need to receive God's filling up, the breath of God blowing on us. We need that love and fellowship with one another. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fill us with your power. Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear your language of peace and forgiveness. Holy Spirit, blow your sacred breath in us and strengthen us for your service. Holy Spirit, teach us the truth that God comes down and brings us the one word that is all peace and forgiveness. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.